Oh, precious Heavenly Father, we come before you, the God in whom we live and move and have our being. Without you, we are nothing and we can do nothing. So, Father, I bow my heart before you, recognizing my limitations and my frailties. This is your word, and I'm incapable on my own to do anything. So I ask for fresh mercy through my Father's fresh unction from the throne of God. So I will speak as an oracle of God with power and clarity, with simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, so that there will be a building up and edifying in our lives and in this body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, let it do an internal work in each of our hearts, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I further ask, as I dock under the covering of my fathers, that as the word goes forth, let your anointing back this word everywhere it goes, breaking yokes, so that blind eyes will be open, deaf ears will be unstopped, the weary will receive encouragement and strength. And Lord, you will enable us, Lord, to arise, Lord, and to fulfill all of your will in the name of Jesus. Let there be healings within and without, so that, Father, we will arise a whole army, Lord, advancing and taking more ground in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because I ask for mercy to help me to be faithful, Lord, to seek the honor that comes from you alone, Lord, to please you with every word that I speak, Lord, speaking not of myself, but of you and of my fathers, so that indeed, Lord, as I do so, Lord, there will be no unrighteousness in me. I'll be a pure chalice through which you will feed and nurture and strengthen your people in the name of Jesus. Help me to redeem the time, so that I will not say unnecessary things, so that, Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, things new and old you will cause to flow out of the treasure of your word, to feed and strengthen us to be doers of your word, and not hearers only, that we might bring forth fruit unto the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, now, this evening, God dropped a word in my heart that I've entitled, Keeping Our Armor On. Keeping Our Armor On. And obviously, that connotes the fact that we're in spiritual warfare and we need to have our armor on all the time. As Pastor Oven reminds us, we're living in the third day. And we're privileged to be living in this type of day. If you look at Hosea chapter 6 verses 2 and 3, you can see that after 2 days, this is the third day, the third 1,000 year from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we entered this in the late 1990s, and God is working out his purpose. Says, after 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will do what? Raise us up, and we shall live in his sight, spirit, soul, and body. So God knows what it means to live. Just being alive physically is not enough. You must live in his sight. Then shall we know in this third day, if we follow on to know. So there's a choice that we make to follow on to know. Amen. And his going forth is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Amen. All right. So we see that we're alive, and in this third day, God is raising up a victorious Zion church to manifest the glory of God the same way the Lord Jesus did, by the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure. Now, we know, as pastors often teaches every Wednesday, that, you know, we know from the books, by the books and by the signs of the times, that the Spirit without measure has been released upon the church, and the same way it was released upon Jesus when he was in the River Jordan with John the Baptist there, the same way it's been released upon. The Bible says the heavens were opened, and you know there was a dove. The Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. So we and then there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So we see that by those signs, we see an open heavens. You know, there's a shaking. All these signs we see is because there's a contention going on in the heavens. Amen. And that is responsible for all the signs that we see in the weather, the signs of the times, man is in humanity against man. We see iniquity abounding, but by the grace of God, grace did much more abound. Amen. All right, so we see those signs, and the same way Jesus, the Bible says, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, and he did so to finish the work. It was to seal him, so that as a vessel, there will be no leak to the glory. You know, and the same way now, God is doing the same way to same thing to with us. You know, he's perfecting, he's sealing our instruction, so that we learn to be precise in our obedience. We are complete and we fulfill all of the will of God. We grow in the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. Amen. And that's what God is doing. So God is waiting for us. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God is waiting. So we must not keep God waiting. And creation too is waiting for us. So we must now follow on to know, growing up into him in all things. Now, God is building us up because he wants to manifest his glory through us. For him to be able to manifest that glory, he has to build us up. And he's doing that through the latter and the former rain. You can also see this in Joel chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. And that rain really is, Bible says in Deuteronomy, that my doctrine shall distill as the rain. Okay, Deuteronomy 32. We're not going to turn there for time. So we see that rain is teaching. And that teaching is coming from the Holy Spirit, released through a cloud of apostles and prophets. Look at Luke 21, verse 27. There's an apostolic and prophetic company that God is using. Luke 21, verse 27. And then, give me 25, so we can just see the chronology. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. We know the blood moon tetrad in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. That's very clear to see. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Next verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There's a mighty shaking going on. Next verse. And then, so that's where we are. That in that then, no, the Son of Man is coming in a cloud. That cloud is the cloud of the apostolic, apostolic fathers with power and great glory. And it is the Holy Spirit that is bringing this cloud. So Bible says that, you know, you ask of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain. The God will give bright, God will make bright flashing clouds. So God is making men and women. Our fathers are an example unto us, through whom he's pouring out this latter and former rain. Amen. And the essence of it is to refine and cleanse the Zion church so that power and great glory manifests. That's what God wants to do. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So that's what God is doing now. He's refining and cleansing us by the help of the Holy Spirit. And this rain is to provide us with divine wisdom and instruction to remove the headstone of sin and build Zion till she's finished. God is going to finish this building in Jesus' name. He's going to finish your life in Jesus' name. You're going to stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. He's going to finish the corporate Zion church in Jesus' name. Look at Zechariah chapter 4. The scripture cannot be broken. So if you say amen or not, it's going to come to pass. But just that God needs you to be a willing participant. You will not be expected that you participate in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we see Zechariah chapter 4 from verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before who? Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is he that arises out of Babylon. We all came out of the Babylon system. We all came out of the Babylon church. The Babylon church is the church that does God's things their own way. So we came out of that. That's the first day and the second day. No, but now in this third day, we must change our ways to his own way and be perfect like he wants us to be. Amen. All right. So that is, so he's talking about us. You know, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. That headstone is the headstone of the sin nature. He says the sin, the Bible says, the sting of death is sin. Sin is where Satan has camped, where religion cannot get around. It's the nature. And the only solution to the nature is what? Grace. Grace unto it. A new nature. So where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. So God is solving this problem from the roots. Amen. That's what he's doing. He's removing from the root. Look at the next verse. The very root is removing it. Moreover. So apart from removing the root and laying a foundation, look at what God is doing. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, next verse. The hands of, let's read it together. The hands of Zerubbabel have what? Laid the foundation. That's former reign. Former reign. That's the foundation doctrine of healing, deliverance, prosperity, faith towards God, you know, resurrection and judgment. Just a basic understanding. The Bible says, let us go on to perfection. Okay? So, I mean, we laid that foundation. So the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall what? I didn't hear you. His hands shall what? Finish it. God's going to finish this church in Jesus' name. We're going to see that glory manifest in our midst. Not just us alone. As many as are part of that corporate Zion church. Amen. It's very important. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Amen. That's the, amen. Amen. That's the apostolic. So the Lord of hosts. So that's an apostolic servant that has been sent. That's what we're saying about the cloud. Okay. Amen. So we see that's important. Okay. Look at verse 10. For who had despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice. Say, we shall rejoice. And shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. These are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout. That's the Holy Ghost. The seven spirits of God without measure. You see it in Zerubbabel by the mercy and the grace of God. That's the will of God. Amen. Amen. That's the purpose of God. That Zerubbabel, who was in Babylon before, will now, God uses the base things of this world to confound the wise. Amen. So he's going to use you that the devil has said that you. No, you are this. No, you are weak. No, you have sin. Oh, see your past. Oh, see your record. Oh, see your infirmities. God said, through that one that you are saying, I will manifest my glory. Amen. That's what God is doing. Amen. By the grace of God. Look at Isaiah 11. And brethren, this is the time to start seeing yourself in the Word. The way the Lord Jesus did and spoke. Mom was talking about faith last week, Saturday. Faith. Faith. You have to believe first before you see you. You are not going to just be praying in abstract. You must be believing actively. So when you see some key scriptures, as we'll see later on, you hold them dear to your heart. You meditate upon, you call the things that are not as though they are, like Father Abraham. And surely they will become. Amen. Look at Isaiah 11. Let's read it. Verse 1. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Lord have mercy. Amen. Okay. Thank you very much. Isaiah 11 from verse 1. Okay. I need to read it from the word. Let's read it together. And there shall come forth. You are coming forth. That's you. We start seeing it in the terms of you and I and our fathers. Amen? Our fathers and us. No. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall go out of his roots. Rooted and grounded in love. Okay, but let's move on. And what? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Next verse. And shall make him. Is that Spirit? So this is what Holy Spirit is doing. He's making man in God's likeness now. And make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. So that fear is critical. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Next verse. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's the day of vengeance. Next verse. and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Amen. So we see what God is doing by the Holy Spirit through the cloud of the apostolic to prepare us in Zion. Amen. So you can see that it's very clear here from the scripture that we must grow in the fear of God. We must, as we want to grow in love, really you cannot grow in the love of God if you do not grow pari passu in the fear of God. The fear, it is because there are levels of wisdom, there are levels of understanding, there are levels of counsel, there are levels of might, there are levels of knowledge. And you tap into each level depending on how much of the fear of God that you are walking in. Amen. So brethren, must increase in the fear of God. Say, I must increase in the fear of God. Therefore, brethren, it's so important that as we go in the fear of God, God is opening our eyes to see that we must avoid leaning on the counsel of the ungodly. We must be careful, because you know God is building us up. Bible says, by wisdom a house is built. Psalm 24 verse 3. Okay? By understanding it is established. So this thing, Bible says, upon this rock will I build my church. So God is building the church upon revelation, instruction, and wisdom. And the way he's building it, we must cooperate intelligently with him and not try to finish in the flesh what he started in the spirit, like the Galatians were trying to do. We must stay in faith and in love and in obedience from start to finish, so that our house can be complete and can be finished. We must not veer off. And this is the danger. Look at Psalm 1. I'm sure it's a very popular scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not, where? In the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Next verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's not only day, it's day and night. Okay, next verse. Hey, thank you, sir. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit where? In its season. This is the season. We must bring forth that fruit and seed by the word that we meditate upon and we spend on. So, you can see God is dosing us with the word. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's continue. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Next verse. The ungodly are not so. It's very important to see this. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, the man that built his house on the rock, three things came. The wind came. The flood came. The rain came. Testing all those things. And you know, if you are not building with divine wisdom, no, and you're building with natural wisdom, is the counsel of the ungodly. It's the wisdom of the outer court. You know, it's the sunlight wisdom. You know, just general human wisdom, or the wisdom of your tribe, the way your family normally does their thing. And you have to be very careful, or the way the community, all these beliefs, you know, these reasonings and these traditions. We must be careful that when we are building our house, we don't bring it into the house of God. Otherwise, what you are doing is that you are weakening the house, and you are destroying, you are building again the things that you destroyed. Like the Bible says in the book of Galatians, look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. God will help us. We will not do this in Jesus' name. Galatians 2, 16 to 18. Look at. This is what the Galatians were doing. Let's read together. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's a powerful argument. Next verse. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. What he's saying is this. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, before you say it can't happen to you, it happened to Peter. That Paul had to rebuke Peter publicly. Peter was already healing people before Saul got born again. I even knew that he was going to be an apostle. But you see, this is the thing. If you walk in natural wisdom and you don't allow the wisdom of God to really percolate deep, deep into our souls, our wills, our minds, our emotions, our feelings, you know, and then, you know, we start responding occasionally based on natural wisdom and we justify it, then no, people that were behind you, God forbid, they will overtake. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But I'm just trying to point out to you that because the devil can say that, God forbid. You know how many years Peter was ahead of Paul? Chronologically. How many years? But here, Paul is stating it, and Paul had to rebuke him to his face in front of people. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So this is why God is saying that we should build and build according to the Bible. So we don't build again the things that we destroyed. Going back to thinking and acting the way we used to think and act in certain areas of our lives. Amen. But making sure that we root out all those things from the very beginning. So natural wisdom is the counsel of the ungodly. And we must not lean on it. It always looks fine. It always looks okay. But many times it is sense-based or it is emotion-based. And it robs us of glory. Look at Genesis chapter 2. John chapter 3, I beg your pardon. Verses 6 to 7. Natural wisdom is the wisdom from beneath. And it comes from Satan. He's the originator. The pastor taught us that. Two or three Sundays. He's the originator of it. And when the woman saw. The woman don't want to read it. And when the woman saw. I'm just joking. That the tree was good for food. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree desired to make one wife. All those things were just sensual. Sensual. Just looking at it physically was pleasant, was attractive. But because that opening looks like God, doesn't mean it's God. Because somebody offered it to you, doesn't mean it's God. Because the way it happened does not mean that it's a God-given opportunity. You have to check it out. Amen. And pass it through a filter. And make sure that, you know, you can be... And see what she did. She took of the fruit thereof. We wouldn't take of the fruit thereof in Jesus' name. She took of the fruit thereof. No, you step and take that visa. Even though, like someone was telling me, you know, it's a testimony. Someone was telling me, they asked in one form. They said, have you ever been denied a visa? In the past 10 years. But the denial is not on this current passport. So, the person said, they haven't denied me visa. Because there's no evidence in the passport. So the person wrote and said, there was no, that I've never been denied. But before she submitted from, the Holy Spirit did not let her rest. Said, that thing you wrote is not correct. It's not truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See how we do with natural wisdom. We do everything with divine, oh, then we patch it. Some that place you patched, you are creating a big hole. A big hole for Satan to be able to come in and the accuser to be able to accuse and say, this place is not, this is not complete, it's not correct. It must be all truth. So in the end, she went back and she had to erase it and put there, yes, I have been denied. Previous, it was on the previous passport, quoted the thing. Now, let me ask you, brethren, if she said it or did she not say it, once they put her name in the system, doesn't it come out? It will come out. And the only thing that she would have succeeded in showing that she has something to hide and a ground for denying. They just write insufficient evidence. And they don't have to explain to you what the evidence is. Brethren, this is a very small example by the Holy Spirit. Just a tiny example of the way we do our things. And when we now get the visa, we now say, hey, praise God. But you know in your heart. But this way now, the person came and said, praise God. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I still got the visa. And that one, there's glory in it. Amen. And it's a test, brethren. These tests come. This is the fire that is trying every man's work of what sort it is. And the reward is going to be based on what you do. It's not whether you get the visa or not. God is keeping His own record in heaven. Your motive, your means, and your method. Your motive must be pure to do the will of God and to be pleasing to God. Your method must be in line with the word of God. Your means must be by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't jomo anywhere. Everything must be complete by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. So we see that example. And the Bible says that she did eat, gave all unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Husband, you will not eat the wrong thing in Jesus' name. Amen. No, you didn't say amen. Amen. Husband, you will not eat the wrong thing in Jesus' name. Peradventure, if that's why two is better than one. If one eats, the other one should shine your eye clearly. And don't say because she ate in Jesus' name. Amen. So that at least there can be salvation coming from within the home. Amen. Because that's very important in this day. And the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked. They lost the glory. Anytime you walk in natural wisdom, it robs you of the glory of God. And anytime you walk in divine wisdom, it brings the glory of God. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 7. This is why it's important for us to walk in divine wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 7. You need to be quick. Thank you. Howbeit, we speak among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that comes to naught. This is the natural wisdom of this world, of the princes of this world. It's coming from Satan. And he's telling you that it comes to what? Not as far as eternal things are concerned, as far as destiny is concerned, that wisdom can't take you anywhere. That's what it means that it's coming to naught. You will make progress here, but you will lose progress in the spirit. It's not worth it, brethren. Amen. That's why we shun it. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, in tongues. Amen. Even the hidden wisdom, which God before the world ordained unto our glory. So you see, there is a wisdom that brings glory, and there is a wisdom that robs you of glory. God will help us to choose the right wisdom in Jesus' name. So the Holy Spirit is the source of divine wisdom through faith in the Word of God. And the end of divine wisdom is life. Amen. The Bible says wisdom is a defense, money is a defense. Ecclesiastes 7:12. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life. So natural wisdom gives death. That's basically what it does, okay? All right. And natural wisdom, of course, we know the Bible says in James 3:13, give it to James 3:13 to 18, quickly. NIV. Quickly, let's just read that. Right. Say, my brothers. No, 13. Thank you. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So true divine wisdom has at its bottom where? Humility. The root of divine wisdom is humility. So there's humility, there's wisdom, and then there are good deeds. The good deeds, of course, and of course, works of faith to power, works of faith without power. So you need to pray, you need to fast, you need to confess, you need to do all those things, meditate, and then you need to act right. Okay, next verse. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Next verse. Such, see what it does. It puts it in parentheses. People call it wisdom, but it's not wisdom. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is what? Earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Next verse. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Next verse. That's what this wisdom will bring. But the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. It's in line with the word of God. Then peace-loving. Then considerate. Submissive, humility, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Next verse. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Amen. So wisdom is walking in peace. Amen. Now, why is this important? We are in this day of the Lord. There is going to be a separation in this season of the harvest between the weeds and the tares. And God wants to ensure that we are on the right side. Satan is being allowed to tempt and to try us. Jesus went into the wilderness, and was where he was tempted of the devil. Now, the way the story goes is that for all the 40 days, he fasted. You can read the Bible and get that interpretation. He fasted all the 40 days, and the devil came at the end and tempted him just three times. That's not what happened. All through the entire time, he was being tested. They just gave us a synopsis of all the temptation. It's just a little synopsis for 40 days. Imagine you being allowed to be, the devil being allowed to try Jesus, and he waited until the 40th day. That's not like the devil. He hits you from day one. From day one, no mercy, no quarter. He does not know. The Bible says the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. So Satan doesn't have any mercy. He's not going to wait for you to be ready and grow up. No, he was testing Jesus every day. And was passing every day. Then God looked at him and said, there are so many, many places he has passed. Let me bring out just a synopsis so they can see the example of the master. So, amen. So that's what is happening to us now. We are being allowed to be tried. Don't be afraid, brethren. There's more than enough grace available to walk all over him and to be triumphant. Amen. We have to have, once you keep your armor on, there is nothing Satan can do. This is the truth. Amen. And that's why we must be confident. It's not for us to bow our head and be afraid of him. No, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. But we have to keep our armor on. When we keep our armor on, he doesn't know whether it's really you or it's Jesus that is behind the armor. Because you both react the same way. Amen. So put the armor on. Tell your neighbor, put the armor on. Amen. All right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. It's very important to just see this, put scripture behind it. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Dear friends, give it to me in the King James. Thank you. Right. Beloved. Beloved is not dear friends. Beloved is stronger than that. Beloved. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You look and you wonder, is it only me? You know, today is this one, tomorrow is that one, today is this circumstance. No, but we're being, so the Bible says, so that we can be found worthy of glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a privilege to be tried and tested the way Jesus was. Amen. So, all right. But rejoice. What does it say? Rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. That's the question. Are you a partaker of his suffering? Or are you just suffering the temptation for suffering's sake? It's not just to suffer the event. You have to be suffering Christ's suffering in the suffering. Amen. What do I mean? I mean that our lifestyle must be follow the pattern of the master's lifestyle. Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That's his own suffering. So he was going through that, whether Satan was coming or not. So when Satan comes, he says, the prince of this world cometh, but because I have been suffering what I should be suffering, he has nothing in me. Amen. So Bible says, he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So brethren, it's a lifestyle we're talking about here now. It's a lifestyle of living like Christ, of taking on the discipline of the Christ life. Amen. And taking it on wholeheartedly, because you recognize the glory that is coming at the end of it. Amen. That's why it says, rejoice, that inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's the way he wrote it. I know you read that. It's exceeding joy. That's the way. A fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not just figurative. There will be so much glory. So much glory filling every core of your very being that you're just full of joy. Say amen. That's the way it's going to be. God is giving us a picture ahead of time. So when you go through some of these trials and some of these delays and disappointments, you put your whole armor on. You remember that this is what the master had to go through, a certain way of living. No, look at Hebrews chapter 5, because I think it's important that we see that. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll come back to Hebrews 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, so was a lifestyle, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. A fear of God again. Right? Next verse. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So we learn obedience or love by the things that we suffer. Now, we go through those things because of the fear of God. So we have been propelled by the fear of God, not by the fear of man. So whether pastor or mommy are here or not here, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. Whether we're at home or we're in church, we are the same. Whether we're at work or we're on holiday, we are the same. Amen. That's the fear of God. It's an inner propelling, an inner proportion. It's a force, you know, that is making you do the right thing. It's the certainty of his judgment if you don't, and the security of his mercy when you do. And to know that he's not going to change it for you or for anybody else. Is that's the fear of God. So we grow in it and we keep growing in it, all right? So that's the will of God for us. So as we walk in divine life, divine light, the suffering works for our faith. It works in our favor. It builds more of Christ, the Christ character into us. Amen. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience, patience worketh experience. So you experience what the character of Christ by your own conduct. Sometimes you are surprised. Is this me? React. God, I thank you. Before I would have. That's experience. Amen. And that's our portion in Jesus' name. All right. So he ushers us into glory. Then number two reason why it's important is that if we are faithful in little obedience, we become rulers over much wisdom. See, if the wisdom God gives, the little wisdom God gives you, if you and I, if we use it and we do it, then God gives us more. And if we continue to use what we are given, then we become rulers over much. Look at Luke chapter 16. Amen. Verse 10. Yes, thank you. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Next verse. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. It's amazing. God links what we do with money to what the wisdom. So that means that the way you handle money is very important. Is it controlling you or are you controlling it? Very important, all right? Who will come into your trust the true riches? This is very key, all right? Next verse. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So God won't start talking to you and giving you specific wisdom for yourself until you have walked on the wisdom of the fathers over years and decades. And you still need that wisdom anyway. About somewhere along the line, God will start talking to you and tell you about this and tell you about that. There's just a little bit here and there, you know. But Bible says that you won't even get that if you are not faithful. So faithfulness in the wisdom that is revealed to you and I is important. Faithfulness to do what has been revealed to us is key. It's not about how many people believe it. Have the Pharisees also believed on him? How many of our people have believed on him? It didn't stop him being the Christ. He was still as much Christ, whether they believed or they did not believe. When he went to Capernaum, it didn't stop him. And when he went to some other places, the whole town was healed. So their unbelief does not prove that he is God or is not God. It is what your conscience is saying. What my conscience, because our conscience resonates with the truth. So when something resonates with your conscience, just for yourself, do it. Let me give you an example. It's a crude example, but you just tell us about conscience. Because these things work for both unbelievers and believers. When I was in secondary school, people used to jump the fence. You know, I mean, our boys, they used to climb the fence and cut on the other side. And they would go to town. You know, they would go and buy Milo, sardine. In those days, it used to be a big deal, you know, to people in secondary school. Sardine, Milo, milk. And they would come back and be making the tea and be looking, hey, they're for me. They go and jump your own and go and buy your, I can't, you know. But I knew that once they caught one or two of them, they suspended them and sent them home. So I thought to myself, I said, I want this bread. The bread is soft. Bros, soft bread. No, if you just press it, you can press the whole thing, it will just come to one small ball. And then you open it in the middle. And those of you have bread body else, you can picture what I'm saying. Open your mouth, just put sardine or geisha. But you know what? The fear of my father. My father was not going to beat me. He was going to kill me. I was absolutely certain. So I did not do it. The boy said, "Wow, my Lord, I will take my money. Buy for me." But for me to go, the day I go, that's the day they are going to catch me. That's the fear of God. The day I go, that's the day they will go and say they had one man, Baba Dracula. That they were the ones staying on the road to catch people. You know, when the boys come and they will say, that money you give me, it fell down. It's a lie. He has used my money to buy geisha. He said, I put it in this pocket. And somehow it just fell as we're running in the bush. So that's the end of I'm sorry, this one is one I bought my own money. I will take it like that. I still did not go. Brethren, you must be alive with the fear of God. There are some things that you just not do. Because you know that if you do it, there are certain consequences that are unpalatable that are going to come out of it. Amen. Because you know what the word of God says. The Bible says that his reproach shall not be wiped away. No. So the Bible says a wound and dishonor shall he get. So when people are, when the thought is occurring to you, you will perish it. Because you know that, when what he did not agree for David, will he agree for him? He will not. These are the things that keep us away from sin. By the fear of God, men do what? Depart from evil. Thank you, Pastor David. So we have to depart from evil. So that, and this evil is has different levels. There's evil of different, there's moral evil, then there is spiritual evil where you do things that are not of faith, and it's evil. It's not of faith, you know, and it's evil. You know, you do things to do good and we don't do it. It's evil. That's the fear of God. You must call it evil. You must not say, it's very hard. No. It's evil. Except it's God that said it. If it's God that said it, it's evil. If you know to do the good he said and he did not do it, it's evil. Amen. So we that's the fear of God. We begin to judge ourselves, you know, at a higher level. So no situation is too small. This is my point. We must seek to please God, especially in the little things. Because that's where the devil is waiting for us. The devil is waiting in the little things. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it came to pass that when Sambalat is the type of the devil. Papa Ralph has taught us this so beautifully. All right, that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Just like the devil mocks you and says, you too, you want to get perfect. You. I can understand everybody. You. Next verse. And he spake before these brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? The answer is yes. They will. And they will build a temple there on top. Alright? And now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him. That's his brother. This is the carnal mind. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. What is he saying? The little foxes are the ones that spoil the vine. Song of Solomon 2:15. It's the little foxes. So it's little. No, brethren, remember, faithfulness in little accrues to much. Never allow the little situations to go. Hold it down and make sure you pass it. Make sure you pass it. Don't say it's little, oh brethren. No. Because that little, he wants to destroy the stone wall that we're building. And we'll not be able to do that in Jesus' name. Now, how? So begin to look at the end. How do we do this? Simply put, if I can put it in one phrase, diligence with greater detail. You're diligent in the instructions that we've been given, but in greater detail. And I want to just read from Nehemiah. Look at Nehemiah. Same Nehemiah, chapter 4. Now we move to verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right. And it came to pass. Let's read it again. And it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians, that's the three of them, and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, but then we're growing. The breaches are being stopped. Amen. Yes, their hearts are beginning to enlarge towards oversight. People are beginning to grow. And Satan is not happy. That's why that thing is coming against you and I. Amen. That they were very wroth. Next verse. And conspired all of them. So this is the coordinated attack. Satan in the air, the carnal mind, and the flesh, and all human bodies that they can get are all coming against. But they are going to fail. In Jesus' name. And they conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. But the he who is for us is more than he who is for them. Next verse. Nevertheless, what did we do? We made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. What does this mean? Wicked spirits, the carnal mind, the flesh, and human enemies have unleashed a coordinator, but we have repelled it. Okay, and we have put our enemies to flight by a lifestyle of corporate prayer day and night. Corporate prayer. We come and pray together. We pray on Tuesday. Amen. No, the 21-day fast. Instead of them being able to overcome us, instead, not only we overcome them, we advanced and we made gains that we are establishing by the mercy and grace of God under the covering of our fathers. Amen. Amen. So but this is what they thought to do. But you know, God is using it to actually build us up. All right. Verse 13 to 14. Because I don't want to spend too much time, so we can just get to the meat of it. Alright, so, of course, they were not happy. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Next verse. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people. Let's read together. Be not ye afraid of them. What did he say? Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, for your houses. Brethren, we must fight. We fight to enthrone the will of God in our brethren. No, how do you fight? When you wash your brother's feet, you are fighting. When you say, Father, I confess his sins, in Jesus' name I have life, and you pray in tongues, you are fighting. You refuse to be on his side. You are on the opposite side. He is the side of pulling down and accusing. You are the side of building up and edifying. Amen. That's one of my fight. You fight for your children. If you see attitudes that are not in them, that are not of God, you take it to prayer and you pull it down. And you call them what the Bible says. If your parents do something, you pray about it and don't hold it and say, see what they did, see what they did. No, you forgive. When they scratch you and I, brethren, forgiveness should come out. When we are scratched, what should come out? Forgiveness. Now, of course, you know, it's easier said than done. But practice makes perfect. You have to practice. So when you scale one level, God allows another one to come. Don't say again, but you are going from 200 level to 300 level. Don't you want to graduate? Who goes to university to be an eternal student? Eternal student in Jesus' name. We will carry the glory. That's graduation. That's the gown you wear. That spirit, that measure. Robe. And we're going to see that gown upon our parents. We will carry the borrowed anointing. And then we just said we'll have our own gown in Jesus' name. So, brethren, this is the picture, man. This is where God is taking us. We're supposed to fight. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. Don't let anything go by. If it's not the will of God, don't accept it. If it is not the will of God, don't accept it. Don't say, I'm 80%. No, we're going for 100. This thing is kill or be killed. The Bible says there is no discharge from that war. With this war, no prisoners, no quarters asked. Remember Rob Roy. No quarters asked, no quarters given. I watched a film. The two guys were fighting. They were telling them the rules. There were two men. It was a film we watched together, pastors. I can't forget. Be Papa Ralph. It was they were fighting with this fencing, and you know it was real fencing, not the one they do in Olympics. The one that has a point where you can pierce through and kill. Yeah, that's the one. So there were these guys were mortal enemies, and as the referee was giving them the rule and saying that if quarter shall be asked, quarter is I want to rest. If quarter shall be asked, one of them players said quarter shall not be asked. Interrupted the referee and said, quarter shall not be asked. And the other one said, nor given. So he tells you that these ones they are not doing for hostage. They are going to the death. Brethren, you fight it unto the death. We love not our lives unto the death. We go all the way. And when you have him on the run, you keep chasing him. It's not a time to relax. You keep relaxing. No war on them that is in Zion. The day of the Lord will not be darkness for us. You will be light in Jesus' name. If you look at Amos chapter 5, for those that give Satan rest, you know what he comes back to do? He comes back to bite them and puts them on the run. And when you run from, look at the Amos chapter 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amos chapter 5, I think it's verse 17, somewhere there. As if a man should run away from a lion and a bear met him, and then you should lean on the wall and stop it. It's important to just see. Okay, well, if you find it, I don't want to lose my thought. If you find it, then we'll go there. If not, but the key is that you have to be on the offensive. And don't be tired of being on the offensive. Sorry? 519. Amos 519. Start from 18. Okay. 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not for lazy people. It's for warriors. It's for fighters. People that are willing to fight to establish the will of God. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Next verse. Suppose the day of light, arise and shine. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. So if you're on the defensive, he's going from bad to worse. There's only one way to go, and that's forward ever. Amen. We're not going back. Or went into his house and leaned his hand on the wall. And what? A serpent bit him. That is the devil, is the lion. Goes about like a lion. The carnal mind is the bear, and the flesh is the serpent. Right there. So, I mean, there's no running away. So, forget about running away. We're going to fight and win. Amen? I didn't hear amen. Amen. Only the pastor said amen. Alright. Okay. Verse 13 and 14. Right? So, we've looked at that. Not Amos. Nehemiah 4, 13 and 14. Go back. Right. Okay, 13, 14. We've read that. Yes, and so he told them to fight. All right, so what does this mean? God wants to occupy our homes. Remember, Pastor preached the message, church in the home? Brethren, we must fight too in our home. Church in the home. The church, there's a type of the church, of course, the father being the pastor, the mother being, they're both pastors, but the assistant pastor, the older children, the teenagers being deacons, and of course, the younger children being saints. We must train our children to fight. Train our children to live by faith. We must train them. Because that's the only way they are going to. Because you know, if you don't train them, then they become a loophole through which Satan can attack you. We must not allow that. Amen. Our children must be taught in the way. So as you are, like mommy does for us, you know, you carry them along. You teach them. And when, if you make a mistake, you call them and say, I made a mistake. I really appreciate it. Let's give our parents a super hand. Ah, you know. They tell you, I didn't get it right here. I made a mistake. I used emotion. I'm not going to do it again. And you learn from you yourself. You learn from it. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, you have no excuse. So the children see that this is a life lived, as an example. And then, you know, they're able to follow to do the will of God all the way. So we fight for our spiritual family. Just fight for your brethren. We also fight for our nuclear family. We must reject what our natural mind tells us and enthrone God's will in our minds about members of our family. You must see them the way God sees them. You must not let the devil succeed, husbands and wives, to paint them in one way, the way they are, naturally. He says, earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. So if you see, he's stingy. Okay, so he's stingy. That's the earthly conclusion. But he's generous in Jesus' name. So I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I begin to say, in Jesus' name, you give of yourself first unto the Lord, and then you give unto others by reason of the will of God. And I keep praying that for you until you change that stinginess into generosity. Amen. That's how to fight. Fight. And you fight. And then the person will change. And you can do that in many more years. It's fun. Just winning and winning and winning and winning. Give God a clap of him. Just winning. Satan has no answer. When is the word and the spirit with the life of God? There's no answer. You know, amen. And look at verse 17 and 18. As we continue to do this, look at verse 17 and 18. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, everybody that is building now. Everyone! Do you see the everyone there? Brother, is it only me that? Let's say it together. Everyone! One more time. One more time. With one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. So everybody begins to fight. There are no civilians anymore. Everybody understands the importance. At one level or the other, everybody is fighting at their level. Next verse, verse 18. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me, the Lord. That's prophetic. Amen. Thank you, sir. You picked that. The Bible says the Lord gave the word. So the person that sounded that trumpet, that is really like the Lord at your right hand was by me. That's when the Lord publishes the word. So the apostolic word is coming. So what he's saying is that you must honor those in authority over you. You must stand in under submission. Otherwise, all this fighting is not going to work without submission to authority. And he says, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, James 4:7, and he shall flee. The reason why he may not be fleeing always is either our submission is not complete, or in some things we don't resist. So we are saying we should resist, but from a place of submission, so the devil can flee. Amen. Now, how do we do it in detail? We've seen the principle of it. How do we do it in detail? By faith, using the blood, the word, and the spirit. Now, first of all, let me look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We enlarge our bowels.
We must increase our submission to authority. Look at it. Give me verse 11. O ye Corinthians. I can't hear you. I know you're not Corinthians, but let's say it together. O ye Corinthians. Our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. That oversight is enlarging and keeps enlarging. Next verse. Ye are not straitened in us. The reason why you have a deficiency is not because we are not enlarged enough. It is because you are straitened in your own bowels. So we need to check your attitude. Your attitude is not static, it's dynamic. It's the switch, the wheel, the trap door. Pastor has taught us. So if you act in dishonesty or you act in pride, you shut off your connection to the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's in degrees. So you narrow it more like. Okay? And then you become more receptive to natural wisdom. So you're more prone to the counsel of the ungodly. It's very important. That's why when we sin, we quickly confess it and we repent and we forsake. We turn our will and say, Lord, I turn my will again to what I submit. It's very important so that you open up that channel and keep it fixed like that, because that's the way that that's where the life flows from. No, Isaiah 51, you know, you can just turn there. I won't go there, but I'll just mention it. The Bible says, no, those of us that follow after righteousness, we must look upon Abraham and Sarah. It is key. There's nowhere you're going. You can run away from that. You have to keep deepening, you lengthening your cause. You strengthen yourself. You deepen your roots in submission. Have to keep deepening your roots. And when you do, even not only to those in authority, even those around you, you esteem your brethren as better than yourself. Philippians chapter 2. You begin to more submission. You want more grace? More submission. That's the only way. More submission. You honor those, so you don't. Even if you think you're the one that, in fact, that's when you think you're the one that the only person that God can use to do it, there's something wrong. There's something very wrong. Look, our fathers, you know, I've told you this before now. Mommy was going on the way to school, and when there's a hill, and she said that when she looked up at that hill, God said, bow your head, And she bowed her head and go, so when she told us, it's just an ordinary heel. I just look, okay, that's the school over there. That's our school. I didn't bow my head until she said it. Do you understand what I mean? So there's submission. How did she hear that? It's because she's working on her heart. And she has more cause to raise her head than me. Yeah. So really, it's choice. Submission is choice, brethren. You choose to submit. You choose to go down. You choose. It's a choice. Let them think that they are winning. Let them win. Let them win. It's not worth it. Win where it matters. Win with where there's grace, where there's life, where there's favor. That's why you should win. Not where there's ego. If you lose your pride, it's a good thing. If we lose our pride, it's a good thing. If it's anything that causes your pride, it's good. Amen. It's hard, I know that, but it's good. We must keep growing in the fear of God. Amen. And you know something I've seen, brethren? God is making the Word of God available now. The Word of God is everywhere. It's on your phone, it's on your laptop, it's on your device, everywhere. Not only that, now there's so many groups that we're joined to in church. You are getting the Word of God from 3 or 4 or 5 different groups. Whether you like it or not, the Word is entering, and the one you are reading is there. The one you study is there. You come to church, you take notes, that one is there. They're not the same. Old. They are all sources of feeding, rivers of nutrition that you must take advantage of. If you have not been, repent. Realign your will and say every single message, I go over it. I just check it. Holy Spirit, you check the scripture. Look at it yourself. Peradventure. Even if the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you anything, guess what? That scripture is going deep, 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 deep into your soul. It's there. The one day will just pop up. And then you will give it the victory. Do you understand what I mean? So don't let any word go, because when the Bible says God is making bright flashing clouds to bring the latter rain. So when you get the rain, don't just ojo, and then just no, drain it for every source of wisdom, drain it for every amount of instruction. Look for the instruction inside the word and increase it. Amen. And then increase the scripture. Bible says that let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. So that apostolic message by WhatsApp, by email, respond sincerely to it. Respond to it in all sincerity. And you grow. You grow. So as soon as things are coming day by day, the first one was next thing was there's a reason for it. If there's abounding iniquity, there has to be abounding grace. And it's got to come through the Holy Spirit, through the word. So that, why are you complaining? This is the way of escape. I beg, give me more. So when I would tell the people, thank you very much for sending this, sir. Thank you for this article, sir. Thank you for this, sir. Somebody would get one revelation and put it there. Say, correct. I received that. You know, and we're all growing. Thank you, sir. Every, by that which every joint supplies. The body is what? Edified. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, sir. 4:16, 15. Let's go 16. Ephesians 4, brethren. From whom the whole body fitly what? Joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Every relationship is supplying. Amen. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of self in love. Even if you thought it was not important, and you now saw somebody come and say, oh, thank you so much for this revelation. You know, it will smite your heart. That, how did you see it and thought it was not important? You are proud. Brethren, you're looking at me. It's a quick check. You are proud. I repent. And everybody's saying, what a word. Oh, fantastic word. And you just thought, you are proud. Amen. I'm not talking to anybody who say you know. Amen. God will have mercy on us. Alright. So next thing, walk circumspectly in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because really, brethren, He's the one that guides us into all truth. Honor the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge His presence. When He does something for you, say thank you. He loves it. He loves to be appreciated. He's a Father. So we give Him honor. We give Him reverence. Do you understand? You honor the Holy Spirit. You acknowledge Him. Lord, I set you at my right hand every day. Lord, I acknowledge you. I thank you. I thank you. You know, you talk to Him in your thoughts, with your mouth. You know, you make it real. We have to learn it, brethren. It's not natural. Maybe it's natural for you. It's not natural for me. Okay. It's not that I'm being honest. It's not natural. So you have to tell yourself, Lord, help me. Lord, no, help me. Help me to acknowledge you. Help me not to forget to give you your place. You know my infirmity. Just help me. And He will. Help, He will. There's no way. You are not going to stroll into this thing by yourself. The Bible says, who can say I have made myself pure? There's no one. John 16:13. Quickly. The roundup. Amen. 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come. That's what this is. He's the one that does the building. God the Father has done the design. The Lord Jesus has supplied the material. This is the contractor. This is the builder. The Holy Spirit. He is come. He shall guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and shall show you things to come. He does it corporately for us as a body, and then in all the body, each person individually, He talks to us individually. Amen. All right. Number 4, examine ourselves in the faith, so our faith will be sound. You know, sometimes our faith may not be sound. 2 Timothy 1:13. Bible says, hold fast the form of sound words in faith and love. So your faith must be sound. It means that your faith can be unsound if we don't examine ourselves and check your faith. So you measure yourself by how. I already gave an example. For example, the Bible says that great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. So when I am offended and I am provoked, I recall that scripture, even though I was genuinely provoked. Brethren, you understand? I was genuinely provoked, but I recall that scripture. And I tell myself, I ought not to be. If I love the Lord, I choose to love the Lord more. Especially at this time that I'm being provoked. So I forgive. That's loving the Lord. I choose to forgive. I choose to draw life. I choose to pray. And if tongues doesn't get it, I get down and I pray travail. I pull it down. Whatever it takes, fight. And I subdue it. I overcome it. So anytime I think about it, I can remember it, but it doesn't come with pain. It doesn't come with hurt. I'm free. And you're free. This is it. But then, this is how to be free. So you raise, when you raise, not say, wow, te won ko to se. And you look at and you stay there. Bo se man se niyan. Mi fe ka o, but o won ti pe go ba. No, baba. No. Before you know it, you have 5 instances. Oh, de fe ka. Thank you. No, brethren. Brethren, no, also, some of us, you know, we pray against our enemies. Brethren, we burn them with Holy Ghost fire. Which law is that? Which law is that? You can make the scripture say anything, you know. The letter killeth. Who gives life? The Spirit. That's why you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us the right interpretation of the word, so that you know that, and the vengeance is mine, I will repay. God doesn't need your help to send Holy Ghost fire. He knows exactly when, how, if he wants to do it. Like, he knows. He doesn't need your help. You just take care of yourself and get out of the way. In fact, you know, when your hand is on your enemy, you know what? You know, if, like the Bible says, you know, if God is dissing somebody and you are happy, God will take his hand from off him. So someone that's even already praying, God will just say, feel it. Let him go scot-free. Guy's going to go. He's going to go scot-free. Better humble yourself and submit and ask God to have mercy on you. And when you have mercy and you walk in love, you step out of the way. And if the person cannot be redeemed, then God will punish them. But if the person can be redeemed, be on the side of redemption. Be on the side of life-giving. Be on the side of mercy. And let God be on the other side. And then the day you have to be on another side, God will tell you. And because it's not your habit, you will now know that, in fact, you submit it to authority. Like, I know that, okay, truly, that you have a ground to do. Then that would be a good ground to be. But always stay with the word and the spirit of the word. All right? Consistent corporate and individual prayer. Here, brethren, traveling prayer, communal prayer, please practice all night. Brethren, all night. They said they were praying day and night. Not the one that you pray at home that you sleep. Not that kind. The kind that you come to church that you stand all through. That's the kind. That's the kind of praying. Soldier praying. Or at least group praying. Where if you are sleeping, somebody will tap you and say, bro, sis, we are here to pray. Why? Because you must learn to fight. Your spiritual armor, you must learn to fight and use those weapons and use them effectively and grow. So, brethren, it's a discipline. Remember, these are the things Christ suffered. So, if you are a partaker of those sufferings, the Bible says, rejoice! It means that those things are going to work for a testimony. If you are not a partaker, then what you are going through, has to say, why am I going through what I'm going through? If I'm not suffering what Christ is suffering. So, don't take out any part of the routine, any part of the discipline. Don't choose. Don't pick and choose. All night, I reject that. I pray during the day. All my enemies, they will die during the day. Day or night. Oh, no, but, brethren, you better pray at night. And let God talk to you. If they said that you should prepare a presentation that's going to fetch you, if you win, $1 million, will you not work at night? Bread. If they say you should do your visa processing quickly, if you can get it to me by 5 a.m. in the morning, I can assure you get the visa. Hey, Nishi, sit up, Eh? You will sit up, you will do the visa. Tell me about Oru Shulele. I'm going to get that. Eh? They want to give you multiple entry visa. You are saying, Oru, I reject it in Jesus' name. Eh? But for the glory of God. Eh? You don't want to do that for the glory of God. These things ought not to be so. And God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So finally, brethren, you keep the armor of love on always. Colossians 3:12. Keep the armor on. You can see all with all these things in place. Then come. Let's read it together. Put on therefore, as the elect of God. How many are the elect of God here? Elected to get into the fullness of Christ. Okay, that's us. All right. Holy and beloved, you put on bowels of mercies. That comes to a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Bowels of mercy. It means that his bowel is open to you. Oversized bowel is open to you. And your bowel is open. There are three bowels. Bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies. Okay? And from that sufficient life that is flowing, then you can exercise kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. And then it goes on talking about forbearing. What I want to bring out here is, brethren, we must be patient. Be patient with one another. I don't know what it is you're going through, the people you're going through. Be patient with people. Suru osokutajino. That means that patience can cook a stone until it becomes soft. The patience of the Lord, the long suffering of the Lord, we account as salvation. God, by your long suffering, can save one person. The Bible says, I become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. It's important. So we exercise, be patient with people. And remember that love is the key, love is the goal. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Keep our armor on. We're soldiers. Let's talk to God. If there's some things you're not doing, or you're not doing perfectly, and let's repent and forsake and ask God to have mercy on us. No retreat. No surrender. We're going forward and we're going to win. To take the land. As we submit to authority, as we acknowledge the Lord Holy Spirit, as we hold fast to the word, the form of sound words, as we fight the good fight of faith, we commune with the Lord, we will put on that armor. And whatever comes will turn for a testimony. Bible says all things work together for good for them that love God, but before it is travail. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So renew that determination to press in deeper. Fight for your brethren, forgive, ask for life for them, fight for members of your family. Fight. There's abundant grace in the air. Fight and occupy by the love of God every ground for the Lord. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer from victory, from victory on to victory. His army he shall lead, till every foe is vanquished and
is Lord in.
Next stanza. Stand up, stand up, stand up for Jesus.
Watch what he. He suffers away with shame and fear. Wherever you meet with him,
within you or without,
within you or without,
charge for the Lord. The trumpet call obeys.
Stand up for Jesus. The trumpet call obeys. Come to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day.
Be that amen.
Be that.
Left hand on our forehead. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today to encourage me and to show me that in this season of the manifestation of the glory, I must have a mindset to suffer the sufferings of Christ so that I will be free from sin and I will carry the glory. So, Father, I confess my sins and my shortcomings, and I repent of them. I forsake my wicked ways, and I willingly put on the discipline of the Christ life, the instructions from the apostles and prophets that you have sent unto me, the latter rain. And I say that I receive the corn and the wine and the oil, not in vain, but I use it to be strong in the season, to walk in the light as you are in the light, and to increase in the glory, filling my vessel with the glory of God. Thank you, Father, because I obey authority. I submit to my fathers. I obey their instruction. I love my brethren, and so I stand shoulder to shoulder with my brethren, one hand building up and one hand fighting the good fight of faith, so that we will build our temple and will finish it
in this season
according to your word. And so your glory we will carry unto the ends of the earth. Grant me mercy to be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Jafreke koban rapakakans zesesere de beria rapababakanto rodevene kumbahika namatsope feke de beria rapapapakatka zere de bopambegi levamaya randevene dodoma rofekako belabana jeosa rondevikoko rodeleve jerelebesoa rabo redenea rodeleokanka rekakako belelebeso mapaka tomberika in Jesus' name, amen.